This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Double up on you. That was a request. We do requests here on Ben and Woods. Good morning, everybody. Welcome in to the program on a Monday morning. Let's get our heads right. My head's pretty right. I'll tell you that right now. Feeling great. Feeling great. Great to be back here with my boys, Paulie Reindl, the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Paulie had a busy weekend. Want to get into that a little bit. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, was at the game on Friday. Like to get into that a little bit. And find out how everyone's weekend went. I mean, obviously, on the field, you couldn't really ask for more than what we got. A great, great series here at home.
One bad pitch.
One stinking bad pitch, man. One hanger. And it got banged. And we will talk about all of that, man. But what a great job by the fellas. Go out and take two or three from the Dodgers and send those people back to their shanties yesterday. Oh, my Lord, with that scene downtown on Saturday. We can certainly talk about that as well. Don't really get it myself. I don't. I understand we're not special. They do it in other places. But, man, for a team with so much parade envy and, like,
back to your shanties.
Weird, like, weird S-talk that they have. It is odd to me that they have banners and whistles and marching and things like that. It's odd.
So, good morning, everybody. You're going to have to explain this to me. I saw one video. I have no idea what was going on. I've never heard of this before. You're saying this. So, the Dodgers, this was Saturday night.
Yeah.
Fans.
They have a group called Pantone.
Pantone, I think
Pro-V.
It's
Pantene Pro
Pantone.
V 294. It's like
that weird bread that you buy, I think.
Pantone. Pantene.
Or it's a Toblerone.
Toblerone 294.
That's
it. And they go to games, but when they can't just get a bus together and just go to a game, you know, like normal people do. They have really they do a thing where they march to the stadium. All right. And
see, the Mets fans have done it. The Astros fans have done it.
Yeah, and
Phillies fans have done it.
And Toblerone 294 has done it in other spots. And they go, they've been to like Boston or New York. They plan their thing and they go.
All right. Do they get permits? Or how does this work?
You can't just march.
Randomly march through streets.
It feels like a lot of work to get your ass handed to you two out of three. For me, that's the risk that you run.
I mean, who in San Diego, like who in the city office issued permits for Dodgers fans to march through the streets? I don't see that happening in San Diego.
It's just weird. Like
Fifth Avenue's closed off. You can't.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Oh, okay. You can't drive. So they went on the the pedestrian closed off part of the street. Not,
I assume
they didn't block off traffic to do this. I don't know.
I got a message that said Dodgers fans are marching down Fifth Avenue. I assumed that's the gas lamp where you can't drive.
So when I got the hate mail sent to me, it all had that Pantene 294 on it. Hashtag Pantone 294. So that's the group that I guess went down and did their marching. But listen, I'm never going to judge a fan base for having fans that are like passionate fans. That's inherently a cool thing, right? Like a group of fans. But, you know, it's the whole thing where they get mad at us when we celebrate literally anything. That's the irony of to me about all of it is, oh, look at them. They had a little parade for a wild card. No, you just got a bunch of drunken San Diego spilling out of Petco Park happy. That's what you got that night. Meanwhile, you have a marching band and banners and you're like marching down the street like, okay, so why is it okay that you do it? It's not okay that we do it? That's the weirdest part for me is the massive hypocrisy. I'm not even making fun of the fans.
I'm not mad they love their team,
correct.
Obviously.
It's the irony of it all. Do you guys know what irony means? That's what I'm talking about. And so the whole celebrate like you won the World Series. You're having a parade! You're in a parade right now!
It's aggressive to do it in other cities.
If you
do it to your own ballpark, if you go support your team in other cities, there's Padres fans
that travel like a
who have been traveling great, but I don't see them necessarily rubbing it in other cities' faces, you know, marching with their Prel 294 Pert 294 or whatever it is down the streets of other cities. That's aggressively in the face of other teams' fan bases. You're kind of asking for, you know, a little bit of trouble, I think, when you do that.
Listen, trouble schmubble. What you're asking for is people to mock you on their radio show on Monday morning, and that's exactly what you're going to get today. So, again, I think that it's cool that you support your team and like your team, but that whole thing, let's just let everybody support and love their team. How about that? Like when Padres fans get drunk at a wild card game and spill out into the streets and have a good time, let's not lose our minds about them celebrating that. Does that make sense? That's really where I'm coming from on the whole thing. I think it's a little bit cringy, but I wouldn't do it for my team. Hey, Woodsy, can you get a thing organized? We're going to march down by Dodger Stadium. You know what my response is? No, absolutely not. I have no interest. All right, well, fine. Let's do it in Anaheim. Let's do it down Disney Way.
Even the most diehard fan bases, and the Padres are getting close to that level. I mean, Boston Red Sox fans are not going to march through the streets of New York to Yankee Stadium for a game.
I'm sure they've done stuff like that. I'm sure.
I don't know.
I'm sure there's been groups. I mean, listen, what I don't want is you don't need a big fight about it, right? It is aggressive. It is. It's walking down the street in droves, beating your chest and whatever. The best part, though, whether you do it, believe in it, think it's dorky, whatever, best part is you got your ass kicked twice. And that's the best part of it for me, was that you came in here, you dropped thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of your hard-earned cash to a nice influx of cash to this market. And then you had to drive your happy ass back to L.A. And, you know, you're going to tune in to your local radio station this morning and be talking Lakers. So a lot of you are in here, I'm sure. I got a couple buddies. It's not all Dodger fans. A lot of them I think are great and they're funny and they get it. But holy smokes, the sensitivity when they get beat by the Padres honestly, it feeds my soul. And I do think I've been against like paying for Twitter. I really should. Man, I do numbers of Dodgers Padres weekend. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I could be making some extra cash off of this. So I had a fun time. I always do making fun of them and their parades and all that. But it was great, man. The baseball itself was spectacular. Spectacular weekend. Other than the baseball, Paulie, which I know we were all tuned into. Paulie got to, you saw the friggin' Northern Lights.
I was so jealous. I didn't even know that was going to be a thing. And then I start seeing my Twitter feed with pictures from Maine and then South Carolina and then North Dakota. And then all of a sudden I see Paulie at, where'd you go? Lake Henshaw. And
you're seeing he's in Iceland.
The Aurora Borealis in San Diego. I'm going, why did no one tell me we were getting the Aurora Borealis in San Diego?
So I did not know about this until like middle of the game Friday night. We're at home watching it.
And how do we have a radio show in this town, a big platform, and we didn't know, and nor do we tell anybody this is going down?
Had no idea whatsoever.
I'm not even going to blame us. I'm going to blame one of the tier ones for not telling us.
I think I had seen some pictures of the Northern Lights like on Instagram or something, and I'm like, oh, cool, my friend.
It's not a scheduled thing. It's like a meteor shower, though. It's a bit like unpredictable.
It feels like a lot of people knew it was coming. It feels like it.
Yeah, I guess. And so my wife was kind of, she told me about it, and she was saying, like, I just don't think we're going to be able to see them here. Like, it's supposed to be the northern part of the United States. Like, all your friends in Washington will probably get a good view. There's too much cloud cover in Southern California. If anything, maybe Northern California would see them. And we're like, dang, like, so close yet so far. And then after the game on Friday night, epic walk-off. I was pretty amped up. I was not ready to go to bed. I was like, let's get in the car. Let's just go for a drive.
Yeah, like, see if we can find them.
If there's a 1% chance of seeing Aurora Borealis in San Diego County,
rad.
Like, I'm down to take that chance.
Better than eclipse, right?
Yes. Infinitely.
Yeah, huh? Yeah.
Don't you think?
I went out, I looked at that eclipse for 2 seconds. I went, all right, great. And I got back in the car. Oh, cool. It's all dusty and foggy out here, it looks like. This is actually really creepy. That looked really special.
It was cool. See, it was tough to see like anything with the naked eye. It was all through camera lenses.
Okay. You couldn't really see it with the naked eye.
There was a point later in the night, like the further east we went, the darker it got. We're like, okay, I think I can kind of see it, but once you set up your camera you had to set the settings to long exposure.
Sure.
All of a sudden, we were like, okay, I can definitely see something. Let's keep driving. And then we pulled off in Lake Henshaw, and just, it was spectacular. It was one of the coolest things I had ever seen, dude.
Well, it was awesome. So Saturday comes around, and you know, we do Mother's Day weekend. We get Father's Day, Mother's Day weekend in our home. That's the split. So we go to the pool. We get like a little cabana and we go to the pool and we spend the day at the pool together, me and Hannah and the boys. And we have a great time. Just a phenomenal time. But you're out there in the sun and you are roasting and you're baked by the time you're done. And I mean, you're just, I just need to be at home, smothered in cream, you know, just relaxing. So we get home, kids are zombies. I mean, they've been on the water slides, the whole thing at La Costa. They're just zooming the slides all day. They're beat. My wife goes to me, let's eat dinner. Let's get them bathed and put them in their PJs. Let's put them to bed and then let's wake them up at about 8:30 and we can drive out to the East County and look at the Aurora Borealis. So I looked at her. I go, sounds good. Yeah, I'm in. And she goes, really? I go, yeah, 100%. The game ends. She's splayed out across the bed. Splayed. And I mean, one leg out. Everyone is gassed. We're just sunburned.
You played that well.
I did.
You played that well. You agree?
I just looked and I go, that sounds really good.
The odds of actually having to do this are very low.
Let's do that. I'm all in. Where do I sign up? I'll load the car right now. I'll put some snacks in there. I'll get fresh water. I'll put a couple blankets in there. I can't wait for this family excursion. She's out like a light, and I'm like, you know, lost the game, but she was just dead to the world. So then yesterday, went to the mother-in-law's, went swimming, had brunch, the whole thing. It was great, man. It was a really fun weekend, and I was in a bit of the chamber. We can talk about the chamber I was in. But it actually turned out to be good. I did something I had not done in a long, long time. I listen to Jesse and Tony as much as I can. I haven't listened to an entire baseball game, every single pitch, in decades. And I did that yesterday. And the differences in it, I want to talk about some of the differences in listening and watching. Yeah.
Adam has entered the chat.
So it was, they did such a good job. such a good job. They got me. They had me in my car with red ears fired up at one point. And you know what point when Tatis wore one.
I was listening at that point as well. Jesse was all over
their reactions.
That.
Both of them.
Jesse was all over.
And so was Tony. It was really cool. So, man, great series. Let's talk about everything that went down this weekend. We can pick it apart. There were a couple negatives in there, certainly, but you take two or three from the Dodgers, you're feeling pretty good on a Monday morning.
Absolutely.
Actually, you take two or three from anybody, you're feeling pretty good on a Monday
especially
morning.
Especially the Dodgers, though. All right, we'll set the menu when we come back. Get right into some Padres talk after a big weekend. Thank you for joining us. Hope everyone had a good Mother's Day out there. All the moms and everyone else had a really good weekend as well. We'll check traffic with Kelly and then be right back with more Bennett Woods on a Monday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Feel the need to do it every time it's on.
You're going to be jealous. I feel like I made out like a bandit on Mother's Day yesterday.
As most fathers do.
Not usually, but so we had planned to go out to brunch, and then on Saturday, Shell decided, I don't really want to go out and fight all the people out there and go out. I would like to cook brunch. And I was going, really? You want to cook brunch? And she said, yes, I would like, there's this French toast recipe I've been wanting to make, creme brulee French toast.
What a score.
So
you sat on your ass.
Well, I did all the shopping, and then I did all the cleaning and dishes and everything, right, and just let her cook. But I ended up with a phenomenal brunch. Didn't have to go anywhere. It was absolutely fantastic. Just chilled, watched the game before I went to work. It was a really nice Mother's Day Sunday for yours truly.
Well, happy Mother's Day to you, Benjamin.
Got a, you know, big giant vase full of tulips, yeah. And that's, you know, it was easy, but it was good. And then we were all together as a family, which happens very rarely. The boys were there. We were all eating our brunch together. It was very nice.
That is nice. That is nice. We did not. We went to a brunch, which was nice. It was fine. But then went to the mother-in-law has such a nice spread. We went swimming and the kids played baseball and it was a great day. I've been in the sun more this weekend than I think I've been in months.
I saw the video of your new pitching machine.
Yeah, little Taylor Woods, 3 years old. Did you see this video on Instagram?
I missed this one.
The kid is like a BP machine.
He was throwing strikes.
Just puts him right in.
Boom, boom, boom. Bo's diving inside. I mean, it was a really special moment for me because he's coming around too. He's got a little skill as well, so it'd be fun.
All right, here's what's coming up on the program today. Obviously, we are going to go through the entire weekend of games, starting with yesterday's 4-0 win to wrap up the series in our 6:35 Padres wrap-up segment. We also just pulled that audio you referred to when Fernando Tatis Jr. took one in the back. It was the fourth inning when the Padres made it 3-0. Walker Buehler had just come out, pitching change, and that's when Tatis got it. And some spiciness from Jesse Agler and Tony Gwynn Jr. So we'll play that audio for you as well. Discuss the win, the amazing run the Padres starting pitching has been on the last 4 days. Anytime they bring up a stat and go, yeah, we haven't seen this in Major League Baseball since at least 1893, you know you're doing something fairly well.
Here it is right here. MLB Network just mentioned that it's the first time since 1893 that four straight starters in the same rotation have gone at least five innings and only allowed two or fewer hits in consecutive games. 1893. You think about the great rotations in baseball in its history. I mean, the Atlanta Braves, the San Diego Padres have had a good rotation. The LA Dodgers have had a good rotation at times. That's staggering. That is a once-in-a-lifetime, maybe twice-in-a-lifetime run here by our starting pitchers. They've been phenomenal.
But two hitters or fewer are very rare.
Very rare.
To put four of them together, even though you didn't win all four, you went 3-1 in those four, is pretty incredible. So we'll talk about the pitching performances of the weekend as we go through our 7:35 segments. At 7:10, we've got a brand-new Las Vegas getaway to start here in the month of May for Take on Woods, so an opportunity to qualify for the getaway to Las Vegas, and we'll tell you about the concert that goes along with that coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. Don't do this at 7:20, as always. In the second half of the program, Sammy Levitt will join us. He was in the middle of all of it this weekend at the Loft at the Western Metal Supply Company, hosting Padres pre- and post-game shows. He will be with us at 8:35. Got some Rindle Report at 9 o'clock. Mostly, though, I think it's Padres-Dodgers talk. We even have some tickets to give away probably later in the show. Keep listening for your chance to win tickets for tomorrow's game against the Rockies. It's the Joe Musgrove bobblehead game. And we had the example. Oh, I still have it here. The Joe Musgrove bobblehead. Definitely one of the most detailed and cool bobbleheads that I have ever seen before, with Joe, his cup of coffee, his dog Theo, his bucket hat, his basketball jersey, his tattoo on his arm that's just got all kinds of details with Joe Musgrove. So if you don't have tickets for that already, we're going to give away a pair coming up later in the program today as well.
Yeah, man. Tomorrow's going to be a good one. I think Hannah's going with her mom. I'll have the boys. We'll be watching at home. But, man, and listen, the Rockies coming in, one of the hottest teams in baseball right now, because even our easy games are hard this year. That's what's going to be the theme of the San Diego Padres. We're going to have to scratch and claw for every dub. And,
there's no easy games in baseball. Even though, you know, the White Sox nearly pulled off a four-game sweep of the Guardians, who have been one of the best teams in baseball. You can get bitten by anybody at any time. Yes, should the Padres take care of business the next 3 days? Absolutely. And while the Rockies just swept the Rangers and have played decently at home, they're almost 500 at home, including their split with the Padres, their four-game split a few series ago. They're 3-16 on the road.
Sure.
You're getting them at Petco Park. You do have to take advantage of some of these opportunities.
What are we at home?
Still three games under 500, even after
it's the series win? The immovable object, Ben, right now. So, yeah, something's going to have to give, and we will talk about that as well.
10-13 at home.
But I saw an interesting stat yesterday as well. The Padres have the best record in the National League against teams with winning records. It's only a couple of games above 500, but that shows you how hard it is to do. Even the Braves and the Dodgers are just a game above 500 against teams with winning records. Padres are two games above 500. Problem is, they're a game under 500 against all the other teams that are at 500 or below. So they haven't taken advantage against teams like the Rockies and the Blue Jays and the Cardinals, but they've played more than quality baseball against the teams with the winning records in the National League. So,
one of those things, man. One of those weird things about baseball sometimes. And that's, I think, generally over a long stretch, that's something that you want. You know, you want to be able to beat those good teams. And I'll tell you, I mean, I know it's only a few games against the Dodgers this year, but it does certainly feel better to watch this team play the LA Dodgers now with all the money that they spent, and to play them really tough, and to not look really scared of them at all by any stretch. And we've watched enough Padres-Dodgers series. When those games happen, you go, here we are. Here we go again, man. We're just going to get pushed around by these guys. The tables have turned a little bit. And you know, I'm not saying that it's going to mean anything at all, but certainly it's a better watch, like feeling that you're in the game against these guys and watching them go out and actually win some of these ball games is pretty special.
One of the crazy things is here we are on May 13th, Monday the 13th, which is the only thing scarier than a Friday the 13th.
Monday the 13th.
Padres only have 5 games left against the Dodgers season. That's it.
6-3,
In the next 4.5 months, they have 5 games left. They are 5-3.
5-3?
Against the Dodgers. They have 5 games left. So if they win 2 of the last 5, they will win the season series against the Dodgers for the first time since 2010.
And I can hear a Dodger fan right now going, hang the banner. Like, bro, seriously, if you look at the history between these two teams the last decade, it's been terrible. Terrible. So you take those wins when you can get them. But they're certainly, they certainly are playing a lot better against that team from L.A. No question about it, man. I mean,
They don't see him for quite some time
now. July, I think, is the next one.
It's at least a couple of months. So that's where it stands. 5 wins, 3 losses. Against the Los Angeles Dodgers, we all would have signed up for that instantly. We would have signed up for 4-4. Yeah, we probably would have signed up for 3-5 against the Dodgers, honestly, at this point, given you know the comparative salaries and expectations for these teams.
Our week is over. We wanted 3-3. What did we get?
4-2.
4-2. Much, much better. Much, much.
Home games at the end of July against the Dodgers, and then they don't play until the second-to-last series of the season. September 24th through the 26th.
Dodgers will be in full-on cruise mode by that point, you know?
Yeah.
They will be in full-on cruise mode.
Or maybe the two teams will be battling for the NL West title.
You spend $1 billion. Of course.
I mean, bro, if the Padres hang in there, man, September is going to be intense because you're looking at September. You got the Giants twice, division series, and then you have the Astros, who are terrible right now, at least.
They won't be.
The White Sox at home.
Here. Somehow they'll be better also. Well, they were this week.
And then you wrap up the season with a road trip against 3 against the Dodgers, who, like you just said, will probably be in getting ready for postseason mode.
Paulie, they spent $1 billion. How could they not? They win 100 games every year. Come on, bud. I mean, come on. It's a 114-win team for Jack.
All right, that's far into the future. Let's return to the present. When we come back, our Padres wrap-up, we'll talk about Yu Darvish's latest dominating performance yesterday, the quick start for the Padres in the first inning against Walker Buehler, and the spiciness from Jesse and Tony. We've got that call.
It extra sweet because it's against the Dodgers?
Yes.
That's coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I'm excited to get into all the games this weekend, including Friday night's game, which I was at and may have been one of the most entertaining baseball games I've ever attended. Really spectacular.
What a game to pick to go to. It's phenomenal, dude.
I'm glad you said that because I was, you know, I get fearful of like just being too in the moment and recency bias and all that. But I was thinking about it yesterday. I go, Friday night's game.
Elite.
One of the best games I've watched in years.
Elite.
Elite pitching from both sides. I love a pitcher's duel.
I was a GD nervous wreck. Snapping at everyone in my house. Everyone. Just like, I'm begging you to leave me. I needed baseball coffin that night. In the coffin with a little TV. That's what I needed. It was,
I mean, it had
gnarly.
Everything you could want in a baseball game.
We'll so get good. To that coming up, but let's do the traditional thing. We'll start in reverse order.
While we're on Friday's game, I want to tease, because we'll get to probably 7:30 is my guess. We've got all the calls from the walk-off.
Yes.
The radio, the television, the Spanish call, the Korean call.
Can't beat it, man.
I have not heard. I've heard only the radio and Don's call, so I can't wait to hear the other ones.
It's outstanding.
All right, that's all coming up, but we'll start with our Padres wrap-up of yesterday's 4-0 win over the Dodgers. We'll do that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres' win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
2-0 from Buehler, the pitch. Tatis swings, sends it in the air, deep center field. Baez is back at the wall, looking up, gonna go! Long home run, well beyond the 396 marker to the right of straightaway center field, and a Mother's Day blast for Tatis, his 8th home run of the year, and the Padres take a 1-0 lead. 1-1 hit in the air towards that same spot deep into right center, and this one's gone. Cronenworth. Oh, now they're going to say in play.
No way. That's a homer.
Throw is coming to third. They're going to tag him out. And for the moment, Jake is out. But it certainly looked like it was over the fence. But the second base umpire, Mike Estabrook, gave the safe sign. The center fielder, Páez, threw it back in. And then they got it to Muncy, who tagged Cronenworth out while he was in his trot.
After review, the call has been overturned. The home run.
Here's the 3-2. Arise hits it on the ground. One hop to Freeman at first. Down to second one. Betts' turn is not in time. Yarbrough covering at first base. And Arise able to beat it out. So an RBI fielder's choice. And the Padre lead is now 3-0. Here's the 2-2. Xander swings. Hits it in the air to deep left center field. Hernandez back to watch. It's going to go. There you go. Xander Bogaerts snaps an 0-for-17 with a long home run to left center field. And the Padres add on. It's 4-0. 0-2 to Andy Páez. Everybody on their feet. And the pitch swung on and missed. Strike three. Darvish finishes strong. Back-to-back K's to end the seventh. And for the second time this year, Yu Darvish gets through seven innings. Eighth pitch of the at-bat. He's yet to throw him the changeup. The 3-2 is taken. And strike three called. Rung him up to end the inning. Here's another 2-2. And a swing and a miss. The Padres have shut out the Dodgers for the first time since 2018. They win a fourth consecutive series by taking 2 out of 3 from L.A. Yu Darvish, 7 shutout frames. Pods it back-to-back homers in the bottom of the first inning, and that's all they needed as they beat the Dodgers 4-0 here this afternoon.
Yeah, I just think it creates clarity of we play our game, we play the way we're supposed to play, and we compete and execute regardless of opponent. I mean, clearly it's a good club over there. We're not going to minimize that, but every team we're going to face is a quality ball club. They're big leaguers, so we got to go out and play the game right. And, you know, when you do that, you throw strikes and you make the routine plays. We played good defense overall for the whole series, ran the bases smart and aggressive, and, you know, like I said, pitched really well, and, you know, we're able to shake hands. That's the recipe.
Dodgers came into the series as the most potent offense in all of baseball. They leave San Diego still as the most potent offense in all of baseball, but they did not really display it outside of one swing over the weekend. Yu Darvish, fantastic. He extended his scoreless inning streak to 18 consecutive innings yesterday with 7 shutouts, 2 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. 17 of those come since his trip to the injured list. He's gone 5 shutout, 5 shutout, 7 shutout since he spent the 15 days on the injured list with the neck strain, the neck stiffness, and he's come out like a different pitcher since returning from the IL. Looked a little shaky in the first couple of weeks, you know, of the season. You know, a good start, some, you know, not great starts, but he has been locked in his last 3 appearances.
It's so impressive. It's so impressive what he was able to do, again, to that lineup yesterday. And I know that Shohei was out, you know, but listen, I mean, it's not like we didn't rest guys as well. I had said last week, Benny, I looked at the pitching probables, and I thought to myself, there's 2 winnable games in there. James Paxton is beatable. Not yet. And Walker Buehler's beatable. He's going to be on a pitch count. You know, get to him early. You've got some guys with success against Walker Buehler. I thought you could win those games. The Glasnow game, I did not think we could win. And thought to myself, all right, if you get bodied by Glasnow, you're not going to be the first. Go out, find a way to beat James Paxton, whose peripheral numbers are horrific. Horrific. Just, he literally might be the luckiest pitcher in baseball, but sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And he was great. He threw really well. We'll talk about that game too. But yesterday I thought, all right, man, Yu Darvish, if he comes out and is just kind of vintage Yu Darvish, pounding the zone, he's going to get some swing and miss. He was spectacular, Ben. And they couldn't get, all I heard yesterday on the broadcast is weak fly ball to right field, weak fly ball to right field. It was a bunch of ass out swings. It was a bunch of weak contact. And that's exactly what we needed from you yesterday. And, of course, the offense gets on the board early, punches them in the mouth early and goes, all right, if you're going to win this game, you're going to have to come from behind.
Yeah, you mentioned guys who've had success against Walker Buehler. Fernando Tatis Jr. certainly fits in that category. It was his fourth home run of his career against Buehler, I think.
25 at-bats.
And he's hit like 325 against Buehler. You know, and most of the most of that comes in the pre-Tommy John era when Walker Buehler had one of the lowest ERAs in the National League over a five-year period, yet Tatis has always had good success. That was an absolute missile. I mean, not just out to center is just good. I mean, you do that at Petco Park, you've hit it well. You went over the next like level, I think, what, 442 feet, they said, and it was kind of a momentous home run because it also passed his dad for career home runs, more than Fernando Tatis Sr. Now, Sr. had a very long career, was not ever the kind of home run hitter that his son has been, and you expect Fernando Tatis Jr. will leave him long in the dust over the coming years, but it's got to be a nice moment to go past dad in your big league career.
Yes, yeah. I got to call my dad, let him know I'm the big dog now at in the house, which I thought was great. But so we had Mother's Day yesterday. My wife, obviously, is a huge Padres fan as well, and but, you know, she wanted to relax by the pool. I said, no problem. So we didn't have the game, and I pay for Padres TV and everything. And if you can pay for it, I pay for it, as far as the streaming service goes. You guys know that about me. Well, I tried to put the game on, and it was blacked out. So I panicked a little bit and tried again, and it was blacked out. So I just decided, all right, I have to hear this game today. So I listened to Tony and Jesse, and I listened to the entire game. I think every pitch, it cut out a couple times, but other than that, I listened to every single pitch of that game. First of all, those guys were incredible. I didn't feel like I missed anything at all. I have not listened to a baseball game in its entirety in many, many years. There was one moment. At one point, Bo got a little grouchy and wanted to go get some food. So we drove down to a little Harvest Ranch and grabbed a sandwich. We were listening to the game inside, outside, name it. We were eating our sandwich. Jesse and Tony got me all worked up. So Toddy gets drilled in the back. This is what got me so fired up and made me go, oh, gosh.
So the situation was, it was the fourth inning. Yep. Padres had just knocked Buehler out of the game. Arias had just grounded a
fielder's choice
to make it 3-0. So there was two outs, runners on the corners, and the Dodgers had the lefty Yarborough in, who seemed like, and they said early in, there's a good chance he might work around Tatis to get to the lefty Cronenworth.
Sure.
And the first couple of pitches weren't even close. Tatis swung at the next one. The next pitch wasn't close. So it's a 3-1 count.
This is his second at-bat of the game?
There's an open base out on
he,
second.
Hit a missile in hit his a, first
yeah,
at-bat?
Yeah, missile in his first at-bat.
Okay, I think that's all relative context.
It is, so this happened.
Here's the pitch on the way. Hit him square in the back. Wow. On 3-1, when he's probably working around him, that is a bad look. Second hit by pitch of the inning. Remember, Kim got it on the wrist. And Yarborough gets his lefty-lefty matchup, but we'll see what else he may have gotten his team later today.
Hmm. Looked like a cutter. Ends up catching Toddy lower back. There could be some ramifications for that one.
All right. So now, when I'm watching a game, I'm more likely to get fired up, and I don't like when they buzz the tower and all that, and I understand that's how you have to pitch him sometimes.
Neither did the
out.
Fans in attendance. You could hear the boos.
No doubt. And I guess Mike Schilt didn't either. Apparently he was jawing pretty good from the sideline. And when Jesse Agler starts talking about repercussions, I went, oh, this is
there's the pitch on the way. Hit him square in the back. Wow.
Not a good
on
look.
3-1, when he's probably working around him, that is a bad look.
That got me fired up. I'm in the car, and my hands start shaking, my ears get red, and Bo goes, ooh, did he hit him? I go, oh, yeah, he hit him. He goes, why would he do that? I go, well, this is what baseball players do sometimes, right? And so nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. Didn't buzz the tower, didn't do really anything after that. Now, Mike Schilt has said, now, they talked about later in the broadcast. Tony actually said, listen, sometimes, you know, you don't get even right away. You wait and you file it away. And I'm like, his file cabinet is awfully full at this point, I think, if you're Mike Schilt. The pocket full of IOUs, I think it's like spilling out the side of his pocket right now.
Because, when is the right time? Because what happened just last weekend in Arizona when we were up like 8-1
correct,
or whatever it was.
And nothing happened.
Bottom of the eighth, I think.
Right.
This game is in the bag.
So
you got the top of the ninth or the bottom of that, whatever it was, and you still
nothing happened. So I did see a lot of people say, listen, you know, you gotta win that game. I agree. I do. You want to win that game and you want to win that series most importantly. I, as a fan, would be okay losing the battle to win the war. I really would, because it has been a decade of this. A decade, really. I mean, honestly, the last guy to do anything where I thought he's defending a team, I think, was Luis Perdomo. Really. I mean, yeah. That was a long time ago. Nolan Arenado was a Rocky at that point. That was a long time ago, man. And I, again,
good point.
Not calling for headhunting, anything like that. Just letting that kid, and that kid in particular, know. We are not going to tolerate this BS any effing more, especially in our house, especially after you hit a home run. If they end up losing that game 4-3, Ben, but, you know, Mookie Betts wears one in the hip, fine. It is what it is. You got to know teams are so comfortable doing that to our team, and it's just been that way for a decade. I mean, you go the other way.
I'm not opposed to you have to defend your own players at some point. To give up a win for it is an insane trade-off, though. You cannot trade a win over the Dodgers just to make a point.
It was a 4-0 lead.
Three-nothing lead, but after that in the fifth, the Dodgers had traffic. They had two guys on in the fifth. The Betts had the double in the sixth. So, you know, at what point do you say, oh, yeah, you got to hit someone? Yeah, I know that puts the tying run up or the tying run in the on-deck circle. Wasn't really a great chance for you to do it, maybe in his last inning, the seventh, but he's just trying to get through the seventh without, you know, his pitch count is climbing to 100. You want to add another batter to the mix? I don't know. I mean, maybe Suarez in the ninth, but then Xander has the error. And do you want to risk losing the game in the ninth there and giving the Dodgers some hope after your pitching staff has really shut them down the whole game?
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying this can...
I'm excited to get into all the games this weekend, including Friday night's game, which I was at and may have been one of the most entertaining baseball games I've ever attended. Really spectacular.
What a game to pick to go to. It's phenomenal, dude.
I'm glad you said that because I was, you know, I get fearful of like just being too in the moment and recency bias and all that. But I was thinking about it yesterday. I go, Friday night's game.
Elite.
One of the best games I've watched in years.
Elite.
Elite pitching from both sides. I love a pitcher's duel.
I was a GD nervous wreck. Snapping at everyone. One in my house. Everyone. Just like, I'm begging you to leave me. I needed baseball coffin that night. In the coffin with a little TV. Yeah. That's what I needed. It had
everything you could want in a baseball game.
We'll get to that coming up, but let's do the traditional thing. We'll start in reverse order.
While we're on Friday's game, I want to tease, because we'll get to probably 7:30 is my guess. We've got all the calls from the walk-off.
Yes.
The radio, the television, the Spanish call, the Korean call.
Can't beat it, man.
I have not heard. I've heard only the radio and Don's call, so I can't wait to hear the other ones.
Outstanding.
All right, that's all coming up, but we'll start with our Padres wrap-up of yesterday's 4-0 win over the Dodgers. We'll do that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah! It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
2-0 from Bueller. The pitch. Tatis swings. Sends it in the air. Deep center field. Baez is back at the wall. Looking up. Gonna go. Long home run. Well beyond the 396 marker to the right of straightaway center field. And a Mother's Day blast for Tatis. His 8th home run of the year. And the Padres take a 1-0 lead. 1-1 hit in the air towards that same spot deep into right center. And this one's gone. Cronenworth. Oh, now they're going to say in play.
No way. That's a homer.
Throw is coming to third. They're going to tag him out. And for the moment, Jake is out. But it certainly looked like it was over the fence. But the second base umpire, Mike Estabrook, gave the safe sign. The center fielder, Páez, threw it back in. And then they got it to Muncy, who tagged Cronenworth out while he was in his trot.
After review, the call's been overturned. The home run.
Here's the 3-2. Arise hits it on the ground. One hop to Freeman at first. Down to second one. Betts' turn is not in time. Yarbrough covering at first base. And Arise able to beat it out. So an RBI fielder's choice. And the Padre lead is now 3-0. Here's the 2-2. Xander swings. Hits it in the air to deep left center field. Hernandez back to watch. It's going to go. There you go. Xander Bogaerts snaps an 0-for-17 with a long home run to left center field. And the Padres add on. It's 4-0. 0-2 to Andy Páez. Everybody on their feet. And the pitch swung on and missed. Strike three. Darvish finishes strong. Back-to-back K's to end the seventh. And for the second time this year, Yu Darvish gets through seven innings. Eighth pitch of the at-bat. He's yet to throw him the changeup. The 3-2 is taken. And strike three called. Rung him up to end the inning. Here's another 2-2. And a swing and a miss. The Padres have shut out the Dodgers for the first time since 2018. They win a fourth consecutive series by taking 2 out of 3 from L.A. Yu Darvish, 7 shutout frames. Pods it back-to-back homers in the bottom of the first inning, and that's all they needed as they beat the Dodgers 4-0 here this afternoon.
Yeah, I just think it creates clarity of we play our game, we play the way we were supposed to play, and we compete and execute regardless of opponent. I mean, clearly it's a good club over there. We're not going to minimize that, but every team we're going to face is a quality ball club. They're big leaguers, so we got to go out and play the game right. And, you know, when you do that, you throw strikes and you make the routine plays. We played good defense overall for the whole series, ran the bases smart and aggressive, and, you know, like I said, pitched really well, and, you know, we're able to shake hands. That's the recipe.
Dodgers came into the series as the most potent offense in all of baseball. They leave San Diego still as the most potent offense in all of baseball, but they did not really display it outside of one swing over the weekend. Yu Darvish, fantastic. He extended his scoreless inning streak to 18 consecutive innings yesterday with 7 shutout, 2 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. 17 of those come since his trip to the injured list. He's gone 5 shutout, 5 shutout, 7 shutout since he spent the 15 days on the injured list with the neck strain, the neck stiffness, and he's come out like a different pitcher since returning from the IL. Looked a little shaky in the first couple of weeks, you know, of the season. You know, a good start, some, you know, not great starts, but he has been locked in his last 3 appearances.
It's so impressive. It's so impressive what he was able to do, again, to that lineup yesterday. And I know that Shohei was out, you know, but listen, I mean, it's not like we didn't rest guys as well. I had said last week, Benny, I looked at the pitching probables, and I thought to myself, there's 2 winnable games in there. James Paxton is beatable. Not yet. And Walker Buehler's beatable. He's going to be on a pitch count. You know, get to him early. You've got some guys with success against Walker Buehler. I thought you could win those games. The Glasnow game, I did not think we could win. And thought to myself, all right, if you get bodied by Glasnow, you're not going to be the first. Go out, find a way to beat James Paxton, whose peripheral numbers are horrific. Horrific. Just, he literally might be the luckiest pitcher in baseball, but sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And he was great. He threw really well. We'll talk about that game too. But yesterday I thought, all right, man, Yu Darvish, if he comes out and is just kind of vintage Yu Darvish, pounding the zone, he's going to get some swing and miss. He was spectacular, Ben. And they couldn't get, all I heard yesterday on the broadcast is weak fly ball to right field, weak fly ball to right field. It was a bunch of ass out swings. It was a bunch of weak contact. And that's exactly what we needed from you yesterday. And, of course, the offense gets on the board early, punches them in the mouth early, and goes, all right, if you're going to win this game, you're going to have to come from behind.
Yeah, you mentioned guys who've had success against Walker Buehler. Fernando Tatis Jr. certainly fits in that category. It was his 4th home run of his career against Buehler, I think.
25 at-bats.
And he's hit like 325 against Buehler. You know, and most of that comes in the pre-Tommy John era when Walker Buehler had one of the lowest ERAs in the National League over a 5-year period, yet Tatis has always had good success. That was an absolute missile. I mean, not just out to center is just good. I mean, you do that at Petco Park, you've hit it well. You went over the next like level. I think, what, 442 feet, they said. And it was kind of a momentous home run because it also passed his dad for career home runs, more than Fernando Tatis Sr. Now, Sr. had a very long career, was not ever the kind of home run hitter that his, his son has been. And you expect Fernando Tatis Jr. will leave him long in the dust over the coming years, but it's got to be a nice moment to go past dad in your big league career.
He goes, I got to call my dad, let him know I'm the big dog now at in the house, which I thought was great. But so we had Mother's Day yesterday. My wife obviously is a huge Padres fan as well, but she wanted to relax by the pool. I said no problem. So we didn't have the game, and I pay for Padres TV and everything. And if you can pay for it, I pay for it. As far as the streaming service goes, you guys know that about me. Well, I tried to put the game on, and it was blacked out. So I panicked a little bit and tried again, and it was blacked out. So I just decided, all right, I have to hear this game today. So I listened to Tony and Jesse, and I listened to the entire game. I think every pitch, it cut out a couple times, but other than that, I listened to every single pitch of that game. First of all, those guys were incredible. I didn't feel like I missed anything at all. I have not listened to a baseball game in its entirety in many, many years. There was one moment. At one point, Bo got a little grouchy and wanted to go get some food. So we drove down to a little Harvest Ranch and grabbed a sandwich. We were listening to the game inside, outside, name it. We were eating our sandwich. Jesse and Tony got me all worked up. So Toddy gets drilled in the back. This is what got me so fired up and made me go, oh, gosh.
So the situation was, it was the fourth inning. Yep. Padres had just knocked Buehler out of the game. Arias had just grounded a
fielder's choice
to make it 3-0. So there was two outs, runners on the corners, and the Dodgers had the lefty Yarborough in, who seemed like, and they said early in, there's a good chance he might work around Tatis to get to the lefty Cronenworth.
Sure.
And the first couple of pitches weren't even close. Tatis swung at the next one. The next pitch wasn't close. So it's a 3-1 count.
This is his second at-bat of the game?
There's an open base out on
he,
second.
Hit a missile in his first at-bat?
Yeah, missile in his first at-bat.
Okay, I think that's all relative context.
It is, so this happened.
Here's the pitch on the way. Hit him square in the back. Wow. On 3-1, when he's probably working around him, that is a bad look. Second hit by pitch of the inning. Remember, Kim got it on the wrist. And Yarborough gets his lefty-lefty matchup, but we'll see what else he may have gotten his team later today.
Hmm. It looked like a cutter. Ends up catching Toddy lower back. There could be some ramifications for that one.
All right. So now, when I'm watching a game, I'm more likely to get fired up, and I don't like when they buzz the tower and all that, and I understand that's how you have to pitch him sometimes.
Neither did the fans in attendance. You could hear the boos.
No doubt. And I guess Mike Schilt didn't either. Apparently he was jawing pretty good from the sideline. And but when Jesse Agler starts talking about repercussions, I went, oh, this is
it. Here's the pitch on the way. Hit him square in the back. Wow.
Not a good look.
On 3-1, when he's probably working around him, that is a bad look.
That got me fired up. I'm in the car, and my hands start shaking, my ears get red, and Bo goes, ooh, did he hit him? I go, oh, yeah, he hit him. He goes, why would he do that? I go, well, this is what baseball players do sometimes, right? And so nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. Didn't buzz the tower, didn't do really anything after that. Now, Mike Schilt has said, now, they talked about later in the broadcast. Tony actually said, listen, sometimes, you don't get even right away. You wait and you file it away. And I'm like, his file cabinet is awfully full at this point. I think if you're Mike Schilt, the pocket full of IOUs, I think it's like spilling out the side of his pocket right now.
Well, when is the right time? Because it happened just last weekend in Arizona when we were up like 8-1
correct,
or whatever it was.
And nothing happened.
Bottom of the eighth, I think.
Right.
This game is in the bag.
So
you got the top of the ninth or the bottom of that, whatever it was, and you still
nothing happened. So I did see a lot of people saying, listen, you gotta win that game. I agree. I do. You want to win that game and you want to win that series most importantly. I, as a fan, would be okay losing the battle to win the war. I really would, because it has been a decade of this. A decade, really. I mean, honestly, the last guy to do anything where I thought he's defending a teammate, I think, was Luis Perdomo. Really. I mean, yeah. That was a long time ago. Nolan Arenado was a Rocky at that point. That was a long time ago, man. And I, again,
good point.
Not calling for headhunting, anything like that, just letting that kid, and that kid in particular, know we are not going to tolerate this BS any effing more, especially in our house, especially after you hit a home run. If they end up losing that game 4-3, Ben, but, you know, Mookie Betts wears one in the hip, fine. It is what it is. You got to know teams are so comfortable doing that to our team, and it's just been that way for a decade. I mean,
you have to defend your own players at some point. To give up a win for it is an insane trade-off, though. You cannot trade a win over the Dodgers just to make a point.
I will say it was a 4-0 lead.
Three-nothing lead. But after that, in the fifth, the Dodgers had traffic. They had two guys on in the fifth. Betts had the double in the sixth. So, you know, at what point do you say, "Oh yeah, you got to hit someone"? Yeah, I know that puts the tying run up or the tying run in the on deck circle. Wasn't really a great chance for you to do it. Maybe in his last inning, the seventh. But he's just trying to get through the seventh without, you know, his pitch count is climbing to 100. You want to add another batter to the mix? I don't know. I mean, maybe Suarez in the ninth, but then Xander has the error. And do you want to risk losing the game in the ninth there and giving the Dodgers some hope after your pitching staff has really shut them down the whole game?
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying this continuously happens here. And that mentality of, well, we can't risk it, that's the mentality that we have here. And that mentality, I thought, was going to change here, but it hasn't. It's still like, oh, don't worry. We wrote it down. We got it. And maybe, what are you going to do? And just an all-out barrage down the road?
Now, do you think Yarbrough was throwing at Tatis intentionally?
It doesn't matter what I think. You know who thought they did? Jesse Agler thought it. I'm an emotional lunatic. I get that. When Jesse Agler goes, that's not a good look. You're working around him, and then you decide to dot him instead.
Yeah, he's not a hard thrower. I do agree. Still, even on a 3-1 pitch, if you know you're kind of walking him, miss outside. Put him outside. If you're going to be careful, don't go careful inside. Go careful outside against a player like that. I will say that. Now,
again, you also remember our shortstop is probably going to miss some time. After
X-rays were negative on the Ha-Sung Kim. He was hit by Buehler.
Yeah, Buehler hit him.
Before that inning.
The second that happened, I was like, broken wrist.
Ugh. Oh, I know. You guys wonder why Tatis gets so dramatic sometimes on the pitch inside when he drops the bat and flails away. That's exactly why, because I'd rather have him do that than get hit. Anytime, especially on the hands and the wrists and everything else. So, I don't know, man.
Dude, a lot of people in the chat are using the quote. You hear it from Mudd every once in a while. We got that pitch too. Well, where is it?
I'd love to see it. For Fernando's sake. When they put Estrada in, I go, perfect. This is perfect. That's how you do it. Nothing happened. So I say lose the battle to win the war. Hell yeah, I want that series. But I'll take my chances with a 4-run lead in the eighth inning. I'll take my chances to let my kid, my superstar, know I've got your back. Literally have your back in this case. So that's just, it just has happened so much over the last decade. It just gets old.
Maybe the biggest impact, though, yesterday, Xander Bogaerts hitting not just a home run, but another hard ball after that. Yeah. If he breaks out of his slump,
gets going, dude, come on.
That could be the biggest thing, ending an 0-for-18 skid. All right, Padres win their first home series against the Dodgers since 2021. They did lose one, though. Talk about Saturday's game. We'll play a little take on Woods when we come back here on 97.3 The Fan.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.